This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of May 7th, 2012. Start out with a program announcement that, again, our Cornell Turfgrass webinar series begins May 16th of this year, right to your desktop, focusing on Marty Petrovic's work on turf fertilization in an age of restrictions. And you can get all the sign-up information and registration information, including DEC credits and GCSAA CEU units, at our Cornell Turfgrass website. The cool, moist weather has left April feeling more like March. Still, this is providing ideal conditions for managing surface organic matter and golf putting green turf so as to maximize any benefit from rolling this season. Also, landscapers and sports turf managers should be aggressively overseeding or reseeding or sodding new or worn areas. The cool, moist weather is ideal for filling in areas before the weeds really take over. As the spring surge of growth may be a few weeks away, keep in mind the value of a sharp mower blade. Very interesting research in this issue on increased injury rate associated with synthetica turf addressed this week. The temperature last week was a cool week, finally with temperatures mostly 3 to 6 degrees below normal. The coolest areas with respect to normal were in the central and northern New York State. Seasonal growing degree day totals continue to be ahead of normal, but the gap has started to decline. The season is on average 2 weeks ahead of normal across the region. The departure from last year varies considerably from south to north. Southern New Jersey is about 3 days ahead of last year's accumulation. Long Island is about 7 days ahead. Upstate and southern New England are still 2 to 3 weeks ahead of last year. Most places saw less than 1 inch of rain last week. Most of Pennsylvania, the southern tier, New York, and New Jersey had less than a half an inch. ET was between a half and three quarters of an inches region-wide. Dandelion control with ester and amine remains favorable from the northern tier of Pennsylvania south, and dollar spot and foliar anthracnose risk increased by midweek, then declined as the rain passes through. The forecast for the coming week calls for temperatures to be slightly above normal next week, with highs in the low 60s to low 70s. Lows will be slightly above the normal low 40s to low 50s. There will be ample chances of showers early week, then drying. The long range is calling for a cool and dry pattern. You can check out all the weather information at our forecast website. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Walt Nelson's Western New York report. Few dandelions are yellow. Most are now seedless stems. Temperatures are helping differentiate grasses, with bluegrass holding back and perennial rye and tall fescue growing. We're on the cusp of a spring growth flush. Mowing is keeping current, limited by moisture for overall growth. The Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik and Tamsin Yeh. Another week with good growing conditions. Rainfall has been adequate and the need for irrigation on most lawns is probably not necessary, yet you will still see irrigation systems watering lawns. An interesting inquiry was received by the CCE Suffolk County Diagnostic Lab this week. A lawn on the South Fork of the Eastern Long Island was flooded last year during Hurricane Irene. Most of the lawn had succumbed to flooding, and this spring there is a lot of green quote-unquote grass growing in the damaged areas. A turf sample was submitted to the lab, and it turns out that a species of juncus, one of the members of the rush family, is actually what is spreading into the dead areas. It actually looks rather attractive at the moment, and the individual wants to encourage its growth. Only time will tell if this is successful or not. The Capital Report from Dave Chinnery. More rain this week continued the favorable growing conditions. We're still getting questions about hairy bittercress, and a landscaper sent in samples of Poa trivialis in a home lawn seeded 2 years ago. There was also a question about kidney-leafed buttercup, or Ranunculus arbortivus, in what must be a very thin lawn in the shade. And the Westchester report from Rick Harper and Jerry Giordano. Recent rains have staved off the worst of the drought for now, though unirrigated lawns already show an early shutdown of annual bluegrass, hairy bittercress, and common chickweed from the previous extended dryness. Dandelions have reached a puffball stage in most places, and clover and violets look robust in more weedy turf. Enough rain has persisted that landscapers report less mowing than would be expected. Grub control questions have increased in earnest at the lab, with the usual advice that spring control is largely not worth the expense and effort. Local sampling in one area of low-maintenance turf has revealed population of late instar June beetles at about 2 per square foot and no visible injury to turf. The regional update comes from Professor Pat Vittem at the University of Massachusetts, giving us an annual bluegrass weevil update. And this is excerpted from the UMass Landscape Management Update found on the web at the University of Massachusetts Landscape Management Extension website. Annual bluegrass weevil larvae are definitely starting to show up in turf samples now. Samples collected from near Hartford End, while the overall numbers were still relatively low at that site, there's a fourth instar, along with a second and third instar, that has yet to set some kind of record for earliest calendar. That has to set some kind of record for earliest calendar date to see a fourth instar. Meanwhile, a sample from near Springfield revealed large numbers of second instars in the plugs. This has been expected. Second instars are still feeding inside the stems, but salt flushes irritates them and forces them out of the stem. They are very small, and many would not see them unless conducting a salt flush. Third instars look very small to the naked eye, but the second are half the size. Expect third instars will begin to appear in greater numbers in the next week or so for most of southern New England. Again, this is at least a week or two earlier than usual, but could work to our advantage. Perhaps the weevils will move through the first generations a little earlier than normal this year, and perhaps temperatures will be moderate during that time. If that is the case, the turf might be able to withstand some of the feeding damage without showing severe damage some have seen in past years. Diagnostic update from Rich Buckley at Rutgers University. Fairy ring was diagnosed on several samples from golf greens this week. Fairy rings are often associated with localized dry spots and can cause large rings, ribbons, or streaks of dead or overstimulated grass. Mushrooms may or may not be present. Fertilize with iron to mask any green rings and manually remove the mushrooms that might pop up. It's most important with the fairy rings not to allow them to become hydrophobic, so thoroughly irrigating the site using a wetting agent can provide significant control. An aggressive aerification beforehand can help move the product into the root zone. Wait one day after the wetting agent and apply a tank mix of flutalonil and azoxystrobin as the soils drench. Be sure to use adequate water to get the fungicide through the root zone. Repeat the treatment at least 2 times at 14-day intervals and use the wetting agents on 28-day intervals. Recent research from NC State suggests that applications of a DMI fungicide like Baleton when soil temperatures reach 55 degrees will prevent fairy ring activity on trouble sites. And as well, you get the summer patch prevention also. Brown ring patch, a.k.a. Whitea patch, is a newly described disease caused by the fungus Whitea circinata. Brown ring patch can be a problem during moderate temperatures between 45 and 85 degrees and often found in late spring as the weather warms. Make an application of flutalonil, azoxystrobin, propiconazole, triticonazole, metaconazole, flutioxinil, polyoxin D, vinclozolin, or chlorthalonil. Combinations of the DMI materials and strobil urines may provide superior control. Thiophanate methylate products have little efficacy and should be avoided. Increased fertility inputs and the use of Primo have also proven to enhance the control of this disease in some research trials. And my gazing in the grass update this week begins with seed heads and lawns. We're heading into the natural period of flowering for the cool season grasses. The perennial grasses in higher cut areas, that is greater than 2 inches, will begin to develop seed heads. This is most likely to be seen in perennial ryegrass and Kentucky bluegrass, but is often seen on tall fescue as well. There are 2 points to consider with this issue. Number one, these seeds will not contribute to the seed bank in your turf area as they will not ripen properly before they are mowed off. And number two, as they decline, you will see a slight thinning of the turf area as the tillers that produce the flower will die. I expect some stemminess in the turf if we have a very dry period. Often high-end turf managers will use a real mower at this time to actually rake the seed heads and stems from the turf, thereby reducing the dying brown flowering stalks. Of course, with the increased amount of mowing, it's also always a good idea to sharpen the blades more frequently at this time of year. ACL, or anterior cruciate ligament injuries, more likely on synthetic turf? A recent study published in the American Journal of Sports Medicine on NCAA Division I football players. The NCAA Injury Surveillance System's men's football database was reviewed from 2004 to 2005 and through from 2008 through 2009 seasons using the specific injury code anterior cruciate ligament complete tear. The injury rate was computed for competition and practice exposures. The ACL injury rate during games was significantly greater than the rate during practice. Players were 10 times more likely to sustain an ACL injury in competition when compared with practices. When practice exposures were analyzed separately, the injury rate was significantly greater during scrimmages compared with regular practice and walkthroughs. There was an incidence of 1.73 ACL injuries per 10,000 athlete exposures on artificial playing surfaces compared with a rate of 1.24 per 10,000 AEs on natural grass. The rate of ACL injury on artificial surfaces is 1.39 times higher than the injury rate on grass surfaces. The majority of injuries were caused by contact with another player or an acute non-contact mechanism. The distribution of ACL injury varied with position type and was most often reported in linebackers, running backs, and special teams players. I'm sure we're not going to hear the end of this. Poetrivialis is a weak perennial grass that spreads by stolons, forming light green patches in the turf. It's best adapted to shady, moist, or overwatered sites, and because of this, it often appears in mixtures with Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass recommended for shady areas. Two theories persist about how Poetrivialis is introduced to a turf stand. Some can show that Poetrivialis grows naturally over most of the world, and Poetriv seeds or stolons can germinate after lying dormant for many years, thus contaminating a turf stand. There is data that indicates that it is introduced as a contaminant in turf seed, and seed producers growers have since some self-imposed Poetrivialis growing and shipping restrictions to help prevent this. There used to be excellent selective control with certainty, but the herbicide certainty, but the label for cool season turf has been removed. There's some evidence that velocity will work with multiple applications at 4 to 6 ounces per acre. However, many of the best Kentucky bluegrass cultivars are seriously injured with this application. There's some data that iron can reduce the injury, but not completely on these sensitive varieties. Non-selective control with glyphosate or glufosinate followed by reseeding may offer the best chance of control of Poetrivialis. However, often the stolons are able to regrow. Take advantage now. The cool and now moist weather is creating ideal growing conditions for most golf turf areas. Now's the time to do any aggressive vertical mowing and coring if trying to reduce surface organic matter levels. Also, when top dressing, consider filling the holes in lifts, as it's difficult to get sand in holes without hand brushing or severely abrading the leaf surface. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, the Associate Professor of Turf Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.